welcome to The Smoke Break. I'm your host, your old pal Zane, here with Zoe Schwartz.
Hello.
Taylor Barrett.
Good afternoon.
And Aaron Fairchild.
What's up?
Aaron Fairchild is a artist, storyteller, and
musician.
That's goddamn right. Yeah.
We planned that.
They're used to me forgetting.
That was musical.
But I think it takes a lot.
They remembered your name, so.
Yeah, I did. We're getting better. But I think it takes a lot of bravery to step in for your friends. And that's why we want to talk about bravery.
You're so goofy.
Motherfucker. Yeah, what can I say? I've been practicing. So you're a storyteller. Tell me a little bit about the project you've been working on.
Yeah. So I mostly spent a lot of time growing up doing a lot of just like visual storytelling and even just like storytelling through music. Mm-hmm. And right now the thing I'm spending most of my time on is I'm getting published through Silver Sprocket to create a middle reader graphic novel for kids. So
that's super dope.
Super cool.
Yeah,
it's somebody who's wearing a comic book t-shirt.
Yeah.
I can appreciate that.
When aren't you wearing a comic book t-shirt?
That's
I think
true.
You have like a Kirby shirt, which isn't a comic book, but like anyways, continue.
yeah. So it's a fun story. It's really lighthearted, and each chapter set in this sort of fantasy world has a different short story that is a different aspect of bravery or what it might look like for that character in that world. Because I don't think that there's any like one particular way that somebody can express bravery.
That's really smart.
Yeah. So that's the main focus of the story. Yeah.
No, I think that's really cool, especially just even speaking to the fact that there are different ways to be brave. You know, sometimes being brave is, you know, fucking jumping in front of a bullet. Sometimes it's getting up when you don't feel like it. So
yeah, exactly. Like the first story is just this princess warrior that has to go and kill this demon called the Foul Winged Devil. Okay. And there's this little rat character that's with her that is just scared of everything, and he just sees bravery modeled for him in this badass woman that is killing this demon. And that's like kind of a classic version of bravery. It's like standing up to something scary and
defeating an opposition. Yeah.
And then that's like kind of in conflict. And then the other one that's at the end, as it kind of follows this thread, is actually using bravery and being brave enough to forgive and to break cycles of violence. So it kind of flips it on its head. Wow. the conflict.
I mean, that sounds really powerful, you know. Just I think like storytelling is such an important thing, because it's just like you're watching character growth. You know, like understanding that somebody was scared before makes their bravery look that much more impactful.
I was afraid of a lot of stuff. I had to face a lot of crazy stuff growing up, and even just through my, you know, early adulthood. Like I moved out to California by myself with just like a backpack and my art supplies, living in this woman's garage. And I just had to figure stuff out. And from there, I worked in some group homes and stuff like that. And then when I was 24, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer. And I had to overcome that, because I was like, oh, shit, is this it? And just like kind of powering through that. And so I think that is just the main ingredient for perseverance for artists in general, or just anybody.
I think that's really cool that, like, I don't know, I definitely see a lot of parallels in the way that you, like, you've had to exhibit bravery, and they're like a bunch of like unique ways of exhibiting bravery, like just like trusting yourself to like move out somewhere and do it, and then going through something that like isn't fair to anybody and can just like happen to anybody, and you just like powered through it, and like, and you're just handling life like by the horns and shit. And like, I can definitely see a lot of like parallels in that, and then you writing a story about all these different types of bravery and how it can look is so like that, like, checks out now that I know so much more about you, you know. And like how many times have we seen people in comic books or movies and just been like, I want to be like that, you know? But it's always this like grandiose like slaying the dragon thing,
right?
And so seeing it modeled in a form of like bravery can look like forgiveness too, is like, people can see that and be like, I want to be like that. I want to be brave by showing forgiveness. And I think that like that needs to be modeled so much more. And so like huge kudos to you for like showing that in ways that aren't touched on a lot.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense too with the forgiveness part of it, because it's all about you know, having your fears determine your actions or like have control over you. So if I forgive this person, why would I do that? Because I'm afraid they're going to hurt me again.
Right.
And so you continue the cycle of conflict and violence that can continue and pass on through generations and generations.
It almost creates more.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So what about you?
No, I don't know. I was thinking because I was going to ask you why you decided to like have bravery be the theme, but it sounds like you kind of answered that. Like it's a personal experience that you've had a lot. Yeah. I think, what's my thoughts about bravery? I think it's hard to be brave, but I think it's like the most like, I don't know, supportive of growth, like to be brave, you know, like doing stuff that
challenges you.
Yeah. Doing stuff that's scary. Like the payoff of doing those things, I think, is a lot bigger than like when you don't take that risk to do something that scares you. So I think about that. Like for me, I think that's been a big lesson is like, oh, you're just going to have to be uncomfortable if you want to feel really good about yourself.
Yeah.
Like, because for some reason, like there, maybe some people don't have to like push themselves that hard, but I have to like constantly prove myself wrong that I'm not whatever, you know.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned like it's being brave is so difficult too because like without fear there isn't really bravery. You know what I mean? If something scares you, that's an opportunity to be brave through it, and that's not saying you should dive headfirst into everything that scares you.
No,
you know there's a lot of like weighing pros and cons, but just like and everybody's fears are different. So like what bravery looks like can be different for everybody.
Yeah, there's a huge opportunity for growth there.
Yeah,
and the things that you have fears about or second thoughts or maybe like do I want to start this thing? Are people going to judge me? Are people going to look at me a type of way if I'm my authentic self even? So you know I think in this time more than ever I think we need people that are gonna like lean into fear and be brave and be their authentic self, whatever that might look like.
I think that, you know, especially speaking to like now, like bravery is important, you know, like
everything's scary right now.
Everything's scary right now. Absolutely. Really, 100%. Let's speak
if you're not brave then you're kind of screwed right now.
But I mean, like, I think it also, you know, goes to show like how much perseverance can, you know, just benefit you. Like we went to the Black Museum or the African American Museum in Washington D.C. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Super dope. But like that is a story of bravery. You know?
Yes.
That is a story of seeing something very scary for a very long time and trying to hope when there was almost no reason to have any.
Yeah, yeah. That was a crazy experience for me because the way that they set up that museum, the African American Heritage Museum, is like a masterwork visually. It's like walking through a piece of art and history. It's insane.
Yeah.
The stories and just all the things that I thought I knew, but I didn't, were kind of mind blowing. And we had to step away after a bit on the first day, because it was just like, this is heavy. Like, I don't even know. Like
coming back,
I don't know if like I can't imagine if I was in any of these people's shoes, like what would I do?
Well, and I think it speaks to like the bravery that those folks had, you know, is like, how do you stand up to something that is telling you that you're constantly wrong just for being you?
And
you know, I think being able to stand up to something like that is important, and it's also very difficult, and people shouldn't have to.
Yeah, right. That's kind of what I was thinking about. I was thinking about the whole thing of like, we shouldn't have to always be brave, you know. So there's two sides to bravery, I think.
Yeah,
like, yeah. It's definitely has that thing where it's like, you know, it's not a matter of being like, you need to stand up to your fears every day.
Yeah,
and face, you know,
David like, Goggins.
Who's gonna carry the boats?
My feet are bleeding.
You
know? When's the last time I had a glass of water? I don't know because I'm
working so hard.
I eat scorpions. Like, shut up, David Goggins.
I also feel like sometimes it's like something that you say to people. It can be like a backhanded compliment because it can kind of be like, oh, like. Like it speaks to like what you like some hierarchy that you've placed someone in when you tell them they're brave, you know, like when they tell like, oh, like they tell a fat woman she's brave because she wore a bikini, you know, and it's like, well, that's only because you made her feel like she shouldn't, you know?
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Like, so I think about that. It's
a deeply like personal thing. It's like you kind of know when you are being that person that is authentically you when you're stepping into something that is a fearful. You really have a lot of fear around.
Something I wanted to ask you about is you were talking about like the character that had bravery role modeled for them and kind of became brave themselves. Is that something that you might have experienced?
Yeah, I definitely did. You know, it was so in the comic, there's this the little scaredy guy is this little rat named Todrick. And
the scaredy name. You can't be not scared with that name.
Yeah. And he's being kind of brought along for a reason that he doesn't quite understand yet, because he's necessary to defeat this thing that he doesn't understand.
Sure.
And I think for me, the base person that modeled bravery for me was my mother. My mother was a Black single mom raising four kids, and she had to face a lot of bullshit in just like the school system. And I had a lot of experiences where teachers were suddenly being really unfair to me, or like, well, you're going to be in this lower reading level now. And then I'd go to my mom and be like, this is what I'm doing now. I have to spell it, and I'm in fifth grade. Yeah. And then my mom's like, what the hell? And then she's like, shows up in like a fury, like, what is going on here? And just seeing that, just to see like, no, I can stand up for myself. I can advocate for
myself.
You can
ask for more.
I can ask for more. And in some cases I can demand it, cause I know my worth too.
Yeah.
So I think as a child, my mom was the Princess Mara and I was the Todrick for sure.
I love that. I love that. Well, and I like that you modeled like a, you know, I assume that Todrick is a mask character, but them being able to gain their confidence and bravery from a femme character, you know, it's usually like, oh, well, the dude is so strong for so long that, you know, eventually the damsel in distress is like, I can be strong too.
Eventually
you know?
The princess stands up for herself and it's like, I like this kind of role reversal where it's like this person, this scared person is being empowered by this really brave princess, you know, and like that's that. Yeah, I think that needs more of that, especially because like my daughter's getting really into like fucking cartoon comic shit like that. Like I want to see more shit like that for her. I want her to be like, I want to be that cool for, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and she's also really into like girly cutesy shit. But every once in a while, she's like, I want a sword, and I'm like, that's my girl.
That's awesome.
No, that's really cool. So like as far as when you're like thinking about bravery, how is it that you are able to like build more of it? Like what's been your experience of like becoming more brave? Like what's been helpful?
That's a tough one. I think it comes from just recognizing when I'm in I see something that I know scares me, and I know also kind of it's not just scary, but it's a bit exciting.
Okay.
You know, like I think for one example would be going on stage to perform.
Sure.
Or even just like showing somebody your art and talking to them about it.
Yeah.
Those were moments where I learned my worth and value like pretty early.
Yeah.
And also just did a lot of like visualization to put myself there and walk myself through the fear to kind of be courageous and just like, this has already happened in my head. So it's going to go this way and it'll be just fine. And I'm going to be alive at the end of it.
A lot of power to the visualization.
Well, and I think, you know, the visualization aspect of it, like the idea of like seeing it before it happens is extremely powerful. But something I heard you bring up quite a few times was just like knowing your worth.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's a big one for sure. Cause the world already is set up to demean and demoralize you in overt and covert ways. Mm-hmm. So it's the thing that you have to have more than anything is just a reminder of who you are, know what you love, and what you won't stand for and will at the same time.
Yeah. I like that you brought up the excitement too, because I feel like the excitement is the idea of it going right and the fear is the idea of it going wrong, and bravery is kind of like weighing those and deciding to push forward.
Yeah, because I think the fear is just like a part of human experience. It's not like a bad thing, but it's a part of sort of your shadow. There's something outside of yourself that you might need to face in order to incorporate to become like a more whole person. Because if you just continue to run away from it,
if you push your shadow away, then like you're never at the end kind of becoming that whole person that accepts all of you, the good parts and the bad parts.
Yes, exactly.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a real quick break and we will be right back with the smoke break. And welcome back to the Smoke Break. I'm your host, your old pal Zane, here with Zoe Schwartz.
Hello.
Taylor Barrett.
What up?
And Aaron Fairchild.
Yo.
All right. So on this part, we wanted to wait a little bit, but we do want to talk about procrastination.
Maybe we should do it later, though.
We could, but I promised we would do it now.
We agreed to do it.
Next episode.
Procrastination. I have a really hard time with that. There's stuff that I want to do, and there's stuff that I build up in my head as being very difficult. And when I build it up big enough, I put it off until the last minute where it is still difficult, but I have to do it last minute
then
now.
You get the right amount of dopamine and then you can actually finish it.
Which is true in some cases.
I feel like you have like a weird type of, like you specifically have a weird type of procrastination too, Zane, where like you'll have like stuff that you want to do, but it like messes with you a little bit, like you said. So you'll like put it off, but you also still keep yourself super busy. You're literally constantly doing things. So it's like, it's this weird, you'll like procrastinate on other things while doing six other projects. Exactly. And so you're like, oh, I didn't get the thing that I wanted to get done. I'm like, you got so much done.
Yeah. I think I'm the same way too. Yeah. Like I'm doing multiple things all the time, but I'm thinking about the other stuff that it's like,
what am I not doing?
What I got to find time to do those other things too. Yeah. Like, yeah, I definitely relate to that. I think I'm just like, I don't know, I'm drinking too much Martine.
listen.
Shout out, Phil.
Well, and I think that it's one of those things that like once you get around to doing it or even starting it, you're like, oh, I enjoy doing this. Like I had gotten some stuff to do some music production and I built it up in my head. This is going to be really hard. This is going to be, what if it's bad? Built it up for a really long time, finally sat down, did it. And probably like one of my favorite songs that I made was the first one I made.
Mm.
And like, as I was making it, I was like, oh yeah, I enjoy doing this. This is fun. This is like, but I think that,
is that when you showed me?
Yeah. Okay. It was, but I think it's the starting part that is oftentimes really difficult.
You know, that's kind of, when it comes to music for me, the procrastination is huge. Like when I was working on Back to the Ocean, it's like my ocean seafaring themed rap album.
I really like it.
Nautical.
It's very nautical raps. And I remember I got the first beat for it in 2020, and I was, or maybe even earlier than that, and I just was collecting the beats and sitting on them for a long time, and I never wrote a word until like maybe 2.5 years later, and I just had this idea floating around in my head constantly, and then suddenly I thought of the first line of the first song, and then I wrote all 10 songs in a month. It was bananas.
That's awesome.
You just snowballed.
So it was just like, I was just like kind of sitting on this energy for so long, and then suddenly I was like, bam.
Yeah.
So maybe procrastination is actually a time to like process before you start.
Yeah.
I like that reframe.
Yeah.
That I just made up.
Yeah. You made me sound a lot cooler with that. So I appreciate it.
I was like, now I can procrastinate more because really what I'm doing is genius. You just can't see it.
But I think there is a lot to that, is that like, I think oftentimes we're just like, oh, you know, like I didn't do it because I was lazy. I didn't do it. But it's just like, there could be the reason you might have not done it is because you weren't ready. Maybe you didn't have the information. Right. Maybe the time that you did it was on time, but it just felt like it wasn't because you had an expectation.
Do you all think that this would work for my taxes?
Only if it works for mine too.
Yeah, I think if you ask the IRS nicely.
I'm just thinking, like, I sit down and I'll just come out and I'll just...
Yeah, there you go.
We should do that with more things.
When you do that, can you do that with mine as well?
Yeah. just say please.
Please. Yes. Yes. Taylor, what about you? What's your experience with like procrastination?
Oh, fuck me. My God. I'm pretty bad about procrastination. I was definitely one of those kids that like, I got good at finishing stuff quick. And so I was like, if I can do it quick, why would I do it soon? I can have all this time to myself. And then the day before shit needs to get done, I'm like, oh, fuck, I needed 2 days for this.
Yeah.
And then I have to like sprint through it. And instead of getting like, and I'm like having a very like high school experience
description of this, but like, and so instead of getting like an A on it because I took 2 days and like made it right, I'll get like a fucking C on it or some shit because I had to speed through it, which is like, it's cool that with like 2 hours of hustling and panicking and having meltdowns, I can still get a C. But like, goddamn, I really could have used that A. Yeah. And I feel like that becomes applicable to a lot of other things in my life where like, I don't know, especially recently, like just putting stuff off to the last minute, including like getting up on time. And I'm just like, okay, like I can rush getting, you know, I already know what I'm going to wear, but then I'm like, oh, I can't find my wallet. And I'm like, okay, fuck, now that's going to push me back 5 minutes. I literally needed those 5 minutes where I was going to be late. And now that game plan in my head is just flipped on its head because I needed that extra 5 minutes to sit there and look at a ceiling. And,
well, I feel like procrastination only really works if nothing goes wrong.
Yeah.
You mean exactly. like the like getting everything done at the last minute?
Yeah, as long as you don't need an extra minute, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe there could have been some kind of crazy life event that happened in that month that was like, oh, now it's screwed up again. Yeah. I'm not going to do this again for another, I don't know, 2.5 years.
I do that. I do that. I think that like the proper, I don't know, that like everything is going to line up. And then when it doesn't, I'm like, oh, well, I mean, I guess it wasn't this week.
And it's a very like House of Cards mentality.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I like to call them pebbles. They're tiny little things about that big. And they seem much bigger than that whenever I come across them.
Mm.
I just like genuinely like can't get motivated to do things. I think that's like the ADHD. Like I can't get motivated to do it until it's like an emergency. Like I will procrastinate so much, or I'll do things like 3/4 of the way, and then I'll not go back to them for like months or whatever. But yeah, like was in school saying, I mean, I've gotten better about it. Like where I'll you know, like plan out like, okay, I'm going to do this part this week and this part that. But another thing about having ADHD is you're like really bad at estimating how long it's going to take you to do stuff. So I'm never actually on top of my to-do list. I'm always like a step behind, but I have figured out strategies to do it. But yeah, but it's like genuinely not feeling motivated to do it until it's like, well, I don't have a fucking choice now. And then I'm like, all right, I got the energy. Let's do it.
I've heard of the 3/4 of the way shit a lot. I've talked to people recently that have also struggled with similar things of like waiting to the last minute. It's like if you like do everything, but just like let one thing sit for a little while, like if you just like doing a bunch of paperwork and you just like leave your signature, and so you like you have all these things that just need a signature, and then on that last day you can still satiate that fucking ADHD procrastination goblin in the back of your head screaming to make you wait.
It's
such a goblin. And it's loud, and sometimes it yells
like, you know what, this time it'll take less than you usually you know what, I think you're faster at stuff than you used to be, so you could probably go with your estimations and they're accurate this time.
But then that goblin still gets to do the fucking signatures on the very last day, and it's like, we waited until the last second, but you know you didn't wait you know what I mean?
I think that's kind of what I do, is that I'll do like the pre-steps, you know, like you do like if it's a paper, you like do the research, you write an outline, you even I don't know, you know, whatever. So then when you go to write it there, the parts that could go wrong, you've already,
this is
like,
easy.
You have the infrastructure in place to write the paper or whatever.
Yeah, the goblin just needs Adderall.
Yeah. Just needs to focus.
Not even that, no, but like just some kind of way to center yourself. I don't know. That has helped me before I had any meds or anything like that. And it's not like a foolproof way to live by, because sometimes you might need to change the way you center yourself sometimes.
And find what works,
you know. So it's just about trying different things. I don't know. I don't have the answers. Talk to your doctor. Or get one if you
listen,
don't have
Listen, don't come
one.
Here for answers. There was a disclaimer that I forgot, but we're not here for answers.
Long and short of it, disclaimed. Not professional opinions.
Yep, not professional entertainment. You got it. All the stuff. Unless everything that Aaron says is cool, we don't co-sign it. There we go. Got it. So far, so good.
I was just going to say.
So far.
On the right track, you got to say some real heinous shit in the third trunk.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, buckle up.
He's been waiting.
Saving it. In his back pocket. I think like you gotta like feed the goblin sometimes. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like I the idea of tricking it though. Like
absolutely.
Like yes, we'll leave a bunch of stuff to the end, but secretly it's not all.
Exactly.
You know? The goblin's and, like, and you're like, I got you, goblin.
And like denying the goblin of its existence is just gonna starve and get worse. You know what I mean? You gotta feed the goblin sometimes.
You placate it. You're like, we left all of this to the end.
Yeah, definitely. I would say with like procrastination for me, the thing that helps me beat it is just remembering that like once I get going, it's fun. Like that's the thing. I think it's very easy to build it up and be like, this is a difficult
thing.
Everything's
fun, though.
Not everything's fun.
The things
but
you
like,
usually procrastinate on.
But for example, with the things that you like to do.
Yeah.
You know, like I've been putting off like going out and doing comedy. I've been putting it off, building up in my head. You know, what if I don't have new jokes, yada, yada. But like actually going out and doing it has like reminded me like, oh, this is something that is fun. Like getting started. I heard the best analogy recently, which was just like, you know, when a car is like stuck in the mud.
Mm.
And like you finally fucking rock it out of that spot,
mm-hmm.
you have to use that momentum.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're going to have to use all that fucking energy again just to rock it out of the spot.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, fucking that's
I think that's
true.
Like a better version of like being stuck in a rut. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. it's not like you just step out of the rut. It's like you got to fucking like heave your ass out of that mm-hmm. rut and then use that heaving to like keep going forward and like separate yourself from the rut.
Yeah. Aaron?
Yeah. I don't know. What are the different ways to find that motivation or to like totally take advantage or capitalize on it? And I, that's something I think about all the time when I'm just trying to create or find the sort of inspiration for me to jump into that thing, that spark. Yeah, exactly. So it's odd. I sometimes I'll look at some of my favorite artists mm-hmm. and reflect on their journeys sometimes or I remind myself of my own accomplishments because I think we do that a lot. I think we tend to only look at the future mm-hmm. and we forget our resume.
Oh yeah.
And we forget the things that we did accomplish that we do have under our belt. I know mm-hmm. I do that a lot where I'm mm-hmm. like, I haven't gotten anywhere. I haven't done anything. And it's like, no, I've done a lot of stuff. I just like that in this world that's just like so quick and fast moving and mm-hmm. looking to the future and where's the next dollar or the next hour. It's you tend to forget. So I think reminding yourselves like ourselves of all those things we have done and have accomplished mm-hmm. is maybe a good place to start when facing procrastination. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, and I like that you bring that up because there was this thing that I also learned about recently that which was just kind of like a confidence snowball.
Mm.
And it was basically the idea, and like I had been thinking about it, but I hadn't made the connection. So like I recently got into Magic, right? Built a whole ass deck, did not work the way I wanted it to, but I eventually like kept what worked, switched out what didn't until I got it to a point where I was really happy with it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is such a good feeling. And then I remembered, I was like, oh, this is what I do with just about everything. I find out what doesn't work, switch out the parts that do, whether it's mm-hmm. a song, whether it's jokes, just basically being able to build my confidence by doing something new, remembering that I can learn something new, and then using the confidence of that to go learn the next thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just for context, that Magic deck is a fucking nightmare to play against.
Oh my God. What are you rocking with?
Altair. Altair. I built an assassin deck. Yeah. And
okay.
Like at the exact same time, we both built red, white, black decks, but they run totally different. And Zane's is just like this sneaky counterattack. You might think you're in the lead for a second, then it's like, oh, you are you're not.
Oh,
you
man.
Are so not.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've played, but like I think the only thing that I made somewhat recently was it was that I think I told you about it, the deck that's just like the bug rat like
mm. just the critter deck.
Just the critter.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fun. Yeah. I love that.
This
just yeah.
Well, no, I think like just seeing that you can be good at different things, you mm-hmm. know? It's just like
when you apply that mindset. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Like in watching yourself build something. Like I'm sure you've built sets where you're just like, you do all your jokes, you feel like you're, you know, maybe I'm not funny, maybe I've already told my best jokes, but it's like you know what works and you know what to switch out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Does that mm-hmm, I do. Yes, I do.
I think applying it to like a Magic deck makes it so tangible. Like that you're literally taking pieces out where you're like, I don't want this anymore.
Yes.
I like this other thing. I'm gonna put it here instead, and just like having the focus and the consideration for something you care about and are passionate about to like want to improve it and the willingness to remove things that you might have previously wanted, but acknowledging that they're not
working.
What you want now. Yeah, they're not working the way you want it to.
Mm-hmm.
And just like that the whole personal growth allegory that can be made from building a Magic deck is hilarious.
I don't know how I got that deep with just a bunch of fucking
cards.
You
killed
it.
That was awesome.
No, it's great. I love it. I love it.
All right. Well, we're going to take a real quick break and we will be right back with the smoke break. And welcome back to the smoke break. I'm your host, Joel Palzane. Here with Zoe Schwartz.
I'm here.
Taylor Barrett.
Not procrastinating anymore.
And Aaron Fairchild.
We out here.
We out here.
Gang,
God
gang.
Damn right.
Gang, gang.
So we made it here, but we weren't on time, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's always important to be on time to the party, but
you tell that to my boss.
Okay. Work is not a party. Okay. Yeah. You're fine. but being late to the party, I feel like there's this idea that like you have to be on time to do like, I don't know, hip hop. Great example, right? About 100 motherfuckers would be like, I'm 21. I'm struggling. I barely just met. And I'm just like, I'm older than 21. Am I too late to do the hippity hop?
Yeah.
And if I call it that, then yes. Absolutely.
Yes, I mean,
wow. Maybe stop.
Maybe you stop the hippity hop.
Hip hop's kind of an old people's game, let's be honest. Like,
there you go.
It's changing a lot in a way. Maybe hip hop is not even the word anymore.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, I
wait, no, offshoots too. Really, so yeah. It becomes this tree of like hip hop is the like the trunk of the tree, and there's just like a million. There's like fucking underground, like EDM, like just every fucking thing you can mix with it.
Technically, hip hop is there's elements, right?
That's right.
Breakdancing, DJing, MCing,
graffiti.
Yeah, I think. Yep.
The four elements. Yeah. And that's fifth element, which is
the Avatar.
The fifth element.
Avatar. You got it.
I love that movie.
But as far as like showing up late to the party, I don't know. Like, I felt like
After the cops get called.
Yeah, exactly. That's when you want to get there. Just like I was going to pick people up.
They got all the weirdos out.
But I don't know. Like,
after
I felt like
start.
Jesus Zoe. Christ, Zoe. Now you want to riff? No. showing up late to the party.
Sorry, I'm annoying.
I don't know. I feel like there's. Okay, let's just. You can still talk. No. You can still talk. You started comedy later than some folks. Like, did you
call
feel?
Me old?
I am calling you late to the party.
I'm calling you late.
I did. No, I actually do beat myself up about that a lot of the time. I'm like, would I be more motivated to try to be famous or like make reels or like do TikTok or whatever the other people are doing? Yeah.
If you say TikTok like that,
yeah,
maybe
I don't have it. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't do TikTok.
You fucking kids.
Gave it the Joe Biden.
Yeah. No, I do. I do think about being late to the party, and then sometimes I feel like I'm like everybody thinks I'm cool and young, right? And then I'm like I'm the oldest person here. No, but I do feel that way about comedy. Like I feel like if I would have started when I was younger, it would have been easier to have like wild aspirations. And I think I'm very practical about it. I'm like, I just want to do comedy. I don't really care. And everyone's like, you're not trying to get famous, then why are you doing it? I'm like, because probably only a couple of us are gonna do
it. Okay, I'm gonna just say right now, I cannot fucking stand when people do that. Like it's like if you're not trying to get famous, you're not trying to be the best, especially in hip hop. If you're not trying to be the best MC, then why are you even fucking talking?
That's how people act in comedy
too. Like, I cannot stand when people do that. It's just like, that's like,
for the love of the game, goddammit.
It's like,
I'm here because this is where I fucking want to be and it's shit that I want to do. I'm not here to fucking compete, motherfucker.
It's like, this is just a thing I love to do. Yeah. It's like, and can't we just enjoy it for that? Like, and there's just like, this real like competitive nature, I think, especially when it comes to like getting in the door first or like popping off when you're like 20 years old
or meeting somebody or going somewhere.
It's all like kind of just like made up fantasy stuff. So there's not really like, we even say like late to the party, but I don't think there's any time where you can be like late, because we're all just like living life and you can step into that whenever you feel like you're ready to do it and you want to have fun, because I think that's kind of the point.
Well, and I feel like there's a lot of shame that almost gets involved.
Absolutely.
Because it's just like, you think that if you're going to be late, then why even show up? Mm-hmm. You know, like, and I feel like even with, how do I say this? Even with like social movements. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's say that. Even with social movements, I feel like a lot of times people will be like, well, I don't want to show up late and be dumb, you know? Yeah. And the problem is sometimes is that some people are just like, oh, well, you weren't here the whole time.
Yeah.
Why you don't get to be at the party? So it's like, I think there needs to be less of a fear of showing up late and more of an acceptance of like people just showing up.
Yeah. I think that kills hobbies. You know what I mean? Like this like weird gatekeeping shit. Well, I see it a lot in like competitive video games or even like Magic, like we were talking about, where it's like, oh, you don't remember this set or you don't remember this card. Like, and it's just like this
just
weird flex. or like people that are like really high. I hate talking to people that are really high ranked that talk down to people on lower ranks. That makes me so fucking mad. It's like, we're playing the same game. We give a fuck about the same thing. And like,
also
like,
it's Magic, so nobody's that cool.
All right.
All losers. All
right. I'm Post like, Malone I'm just, plays I'm just
Magic.
Say
just say it.
Posty is playing Magic.
No, I'm really good at Magic. Yeah. I mean, just like we're
even,
all dorks.
Even like the video game sense. Like, we have a friend that like didn't really play like hero shooters or like shooters at all, or really, and fucking, and they're like hanging with us. So if somebody ever were to like talk down, I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, they might not be in plat or diamond. Neither are we, and they're hanging with people that I've been fucking playing this game for years, and like that's super impressive in itself. Like, just the willingness to continue inclusion in anything you love is like, will allow it to thrive more.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean, and I think it's understanding that like encouraging people to do things is like, I don't know, like that's inspiration. I think there's so many people you can be inspired by.
Well, and I was just thinking like sometimes being later to the party might actually be like you've marinated enough, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I was thinking about like me becoming a therapist. Like I probably kind of always knew I wanted to do that, but I don't know if I was like mature enough to do it until when I did it, you know what I mean? Like I don't know if I would have been able to handle the pressure, you know. So maybe even though it felt like I was late to the party, maybe I was just right on time.
Yeah.
All right, segment over, we're done.
No, I was thinking a bit about what you were saying too, with even just like social movements and everything like that, and maybe people realizing when it's their time to step in and like be a part of a movement. But then there is that other little thing too, where people that have been in that movement already that are just kind of looking at it like, well, you weren't here when we were doing this.
Are you really about
like,
it?
Name three songs.
Really about it. Name three marches.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if they like gate kept the civil rights movement? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Name the first three protest chants.
Well, okay.
Name
so
three can't be from Karl Marx. Right.
I saw this meme that was like that. It was this person, and they were like in a wheelchair, and they had this sign that was just like, "Hey, I'm sorry, I'm late, you know, but I'm glad, you know, but I'm learning, you know." Yeah. And it's like there were people who were shaming
like,
him,
like ex homophobe. Or something.
Ex homophobe, ex racist. I think it was for Black Lives or something. But like, he was being shamed by people who were like,
how dare you used to think like
how
that?
Dare you? Well, he was being shamed by the people who were like, why'd you switch? And then being shamed by the people who were like, why haven't you been here the whole time?
That's
and
a good
it's
point.
Just like, this dude literally is like trying to do better and like isn't
not
even
good enough.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's what stops people from trying a lot of the time.
And like, I like me personally, that would be really hard for me to like reject somebody that's wanting to make that transition. It's like, obviously if they're leaving those ideologies and shifting to better ones, then like they're making those changes, and they were able to do that probably independently with encouragement to not change.
And
they're still here now, so like open arms, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
What can we do to help you be the person you want to be?
I don't know. I think this the society, this everything in this society like I just think everything has like done a really good job at like injecting a deep insecurity in all of us in a way that we might not even understand or process. Mm-hmm. And that goes for the folks that are even working within the movements that are looking down on people that are getting there a little late, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's also a projection of their own insecurities, maybe.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think it's something we should really address if we want to try to bring people together and you know, find real solutions. Because again, like even back to the story, it's like, or the story I'm writing, it's like, how do we find a way to like overcome this conflict by like not engaging in the conflict, but finding a way to like break the cycles of violence or misunderstanding or miscommunication even. So
absolutely.
I think we should all do some reflecting on that.
Yeah.
Like when we're, you know, telling somebody that they're late.
You know. Yeah. I don't know what I was going
to
say.
Okay. Well, but I'm really giving you a chance to say it.
Like, even if you're like, late, it's cool you're here. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're here.
Exactly. Well, you're and valid. I think with like, I don't know, like just in so like social movements in general, like there is this expectation of like, that's what I was going to say. I was talking until I figured it out. The black dude who unracisted all those people.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about? Is that the British kid, glasses?
Not him. Older black dude goes around to like clans members, got like a clan, like a grand wizard to give him his fucking robes. I'm just like, that's.
I was thinking of the Vice documentary.
And then, unracisted, you know, Gran Torino, good example.
Full circle.
But I think that is
Zoe is Clint Eastwood.
I think that that's a really good example of, you know, like allowing somebody to show up late to that party, because it would be very easy to be like, well, you used to say this, you used to do this, so you never get to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, he also understands how impactful that is. And who better to talk to people who are still like this than somebody who used to think like them? You know, we have to be able to connect through that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If this person isn't allowed to get better, then our society is never allowed to get better.
Yes.
Like, it's like you have to allow people the space and the time to grow. And the same goes for like the entire country.
Yeah.
To,
yeah.
I mean, the world. I
think that's a really good point, because it's just like, if you're saying an individual can't change and grow better, then you're saying us as a whole, like, how would that even be possible? If one person can't change, how are we all supposed to?
Yeah. Because as a mass, we are a bunch of individuals. And so if one individual can change that, propose the idea for two more to change, and it can like pyramid scheme its way out from there into de-racisting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, de-racisting. That's un-racist. What we're trying to do. Yeah, we're just trying to un-racist some folks. So yeah, I don't know. I think that there just needs to be, you know, like more acceptance, more understanding, and I don't know, ultimately
more conversations. Too.
More conversations.
Yep. More curiosity.
I think honestly, I don't know if this is gonna happen, but I do want to get some like right leaning folks and have a podcast and just be like, I want to understand what you think. Because I don't think you understand what I think, and I think I might understand what you think, but like, what if we walked away both understanding why we thought that a little bit more?
Yeah.
And you're our first guest. I thought you were right winged.
That's right.
They have a lot of like built-in arguments though for their.
But it's not even arguments. I think that a lot of times that like folks, they get defensive before they get their point across.
Mm-hmm.
And so like we end up calling somebody a name before we end up having them understand where we're coming from. And it just, it shuts communication down. Like you're saying, the cycles of miscommunication.
Yep.
How many times are we approaching something the same way and being surprised it had the same outcome?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Like, I think MAGA's really missing the mark here. I think that if they made beanies, they'd be a lot more successful. They're only making MAGA hats.
Yes.
And those only apply, that's only appealing to people that already have hats.
Exactly. They should make MAGA thongs.
Yo, I'll buy 10.
It's comedy merch. You know what I mean? I mean, you might as well.
The writing has to be very
clown,
small.
So.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, they're only making hats. People that wear hats all the time kind of already are, you know what I mean? If they made like MAGA beanies, people would be like, they'd attract people that want to wear
maybe
beanies.
Maybe they could get more hipsters.
That's what I'm saying. I just started wearing beanies more lately. I could go for a new beanie.
I think we should call them up and tell them our new plan for it.
Yeah. Look, I will switch sides. You know what I mean? If I be your marketing team.
I'll change jerseys. Yeah.
I'll sell out for a beanie.
Listen, if I can get an Afro pick with a MAGA on it, like I'm just
and
saying. And a fist? Absolutely. Whoa. That's what Trump threw up after the thing. Yeah.
See? Oh, that's not what Elon threw up.
Oh my God.
So all right.
His heart went out to something. I don't know what.
We got a couple minutes left, don't we? We have to end on that.
It's a different kind of Afro pick.
I think that was the big laugh we're supposed to end on. I've been your host, Zane Thomas.
We didn't
mean
any of that. We were joking.
Yeah. Holy shit.
The one time we didn't do the disclaimer. Please watch till the end. I've been your host, your old pal Zane. It was Zoe Schwartz.
I've been Zoe Schwartz.
Taylor Barrett.
I'm not designing beanies.
And Aaron Fairchild.
Hello, hello, hello. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Later, players.
Bye.